New on Curiosity Stream.
I'm James Burke. I'm going to take you on a journey through time.
James Burke's visionary series returns, reimagined for our time.
Now, this is all uncharted territory.
The Washington Post hails Burke as one of the most intriguing minds in the Western world. The New York Times raves he careens from one great moment in history to another.
Where do we want to go from here?
Experience all new. Connections.
So what's the next connection?
With monthly, annual, and bundled plans, find the one that works for you at CuriosityStream.com.
Did you miss your deadline to renew your Medicaid coverage? You can still send your completed annual review form to Healthy Connections Medicaid. You may be assigned to another health plan, but you can ask to come back to First Choice within 60 days of renewed Medicaid eligibility. It's your family. It's your choice. First Choice is the right choice. Renew and choose us. Visit selecthealthofsc.com/renew to learn more.
Welcome into the MMA Strategy Shows. We're here to get you ready for UFC 280. It goes down on Saturday afternoon over in Abu Dhabi. Early lock time on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Main card will be at 2 p.m. Eastern. And Pete, I am with you this Saturday.
Had
a little travel adjustments last week, but I will be here on Saturday morning with you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be with you guys. I will be with you guys, but I don't know how present I actually will be because I'll be working till 7 in the morning and then coming right here for what? What time are we on? 9 a.m.? Something.
9 a.m. So you'll get home and you'll just be crunching lineups.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. It sounds absolutely terrible.
Watch. You're gonna take down the big GPP and then you're just gonna realize, okay, I need to make all my lineups when I'm dead tired.
Yeah, right. Yeah, watch. This will be the first extremely, extremely profitable week taking down all these big tournaments. But I mean, regardless, this is an amazing card. So it's not like I'm, you know, doing the podcast on little sleep when it's a terrible card. This is like one of the best cards we've had in a very long time.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's an awesome fight card top to bottom. Like, I might be as excited for Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady as I am the title fights.
Yeah, I mean, this fight card is ridiculous. So I am ready to look stupid this week. And the reason I'm saying that is because there are so many live underdogs this week, more so than any other week, because of how competitive these matchups are. So I'm expecting an interesting, optimal lineup. I'm expecting a ton of upsets. And this is a week where, you know, I will be paying attention to the chalk and seeing how I can get different from the field because I'm expecting a ton of volatility.
Oh, I mean, when I was doing my podcast last night and I was just kind of looking at the underdogs and I was like, good Lord, this could be like a 6-7 underdog week.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy, man. But from top to bottom, like what's your favorite fight?
My favorite fight?
Yeah. Like just from a fan standpoint.
It's gotta be main event. Gotta be main event.
Okay.
I will say this. A fight I'm fascinated in to see how it plays out is Jan and O'Malley.
Same. I'm really excited about the co-main event as well. So like, you know,
I sent you that video. I turned on the press conference right as that line happened. For the people who have not seen it, just go to UFC Europe account. And let's just say TJ pulled a D's nuts joke up on Aljamain Sterling. I mean, yeah. Would that be about the best way to describe it?
100%. And, Anybody that knows me knows that I probably got you with one of those jokes or
I don't think you went to that level on the D's nuts joke. He took it to a different level.
Well, maybe, not with you, but definitely I've taken it to several levels. But I mean, it's an interesting matchup and I'm excited to see what Dillashaw looks like. Speculation always surrounds him. This is going to be a big win for either one of these fighters. And, you know, I'm excited. I love it when there's a little bit of bad blood in some of these big, big fights.
No question about it. We're going to break all these fights down for you over the next hour. Of course, coming up after us will be the NHL Strategy Show. Of course, be sure to hit that thumbs up button. That really does help us out a lot as well. And of course, if you're looking for DFS coverage, this is the place you got to be here at Stochastic. Hit that subscribe, hit that notification bell so you know when the show is live here on the channel. Of course, if you ever miss our shows and maybe you're on the go, head over to our podcast channels as pretty much all of our content is available over on the podcasting platforms. And of course, you know, do your yourself, me and Pete, a favor. Hit that 5-star rating review on the Stochastic MMA podcast channels. We really appreciate that. Of course, we're sponsored by Prize Picks, as when we talk about a little bit more in the Prize Picks later on the show, Pete, I'm going to give you a 5-player prop card today, because you know it's NBA season, so you know I'm a little over Prize Picks right now. I mean, I'm literally probably cussing out Ben. Well, okay, let's just say, as I'm watching the Nets game last night, a lot of choice words were coming out of my mouth, like, Ben Simmons, can you please shoot the ball?
I mean, I was expecting a little bit better of a debut for my Nets. But, you know, chemistry is huge when it comes to basketball, and eventually they'll find some chemistry or they won't, right? Like, it's either going to develop or it's going to spiral out of control. So hopefully it's not two seasons in a row with a complete letdown, but I really feel like, you know, they have the skills to make it work. And a lot of Ben Simmons' game is mental. So we'll have to see.
Did you see what my boy Panchero did last night?
Oh, bro, nasty. I was a little light on him when it came to DFS, because I kind of wanted to take a wait and see approach. Thought it was a hefty price tag, but not necessarily. And my Lord, he looked like a monster.
Yeah, as a Magic fan, I've seen a lot of bad basketball. That was nice to see. But let's get right into these fights. We got Islam Makhachev, Charles Oliveira headline this fight card. Vacant title fight here. Of course, I think we all consider Charles Oliveira the champion here. It is $7,800 for Charles on DK, $8,400 for Islam over on DraftKings side of the equation. We have not got the FanDuel salaries out. If they do come out during the show, we'll talk about those salaries here. Let me preface it this way, Pete.
Okay.
Who do you think is the better striker?
Between who?
Islam and Charles.
Charles. All day.
Who's a better defensive striker?
Well, I will tell you that Charles gets hit a lot, obviously. So technically the answer would be Islam's a better defensive striker, but he's also not on his feet as much as Charles is, because he's constantly suffocating his opponents on the mat. I think that he's extremely elementary on the feet. I can honestly see, you know, Islam hurting Charles on the feet, because we've seen everybody hurt Charles on the feet. I just think from a skill standpoint, Charles has all the tools in the world standing up. Islam has, you know, very basic boxing overhand into wrestling.
When I saw the comment that Charles made this week that he expects to knock Islam out in the first round, I think that could be taken in many different ways. I mean, look, I think that you're going to see Islam go down and look to take this fight to the ground. Now, of course, you're going a little bit of a danger world going into what Dubronx can do there on the ground. But, like, this is one of these equations that I keep going back and forth on this fight. Like, this is a fight I think we have to prioritize in terms of GPPs. I mean, my guess is I think I'll be in the 75 to 80% in terms of ownership on this fight.
Yeah, I'm going to be a wild man. I'm going to have 100% in the fight. I just am. It's 5 rounds. You have stupid cheap price tags on both sides. Islam, 84. Charles, 78. If it goes the distance, they probably still cash. If it ends early, they probably still pay off their salary. So this is another situation where it's the Charles Oliveira against Justin Gaethje type of thing, where I don't want to get too cute and overthink it and be like, oh, there could be other fights. Yeah, there could be other fights. But this has high probability of making it into the optimal lineup based on their salaries. So I'm going to treat it accordingly, and I'm going to get as much exposure to it as possible.
Yeah, this is just, it's one of those fights that, I mean, look, I could see Islam racking in on the takedowns on this one. You know, Prize Picks has got the fight time number here at 10 minutes. I could go either way on that one. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting number is 2 takedowns for Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
I would rather go the over on that route than the under.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Now, as far as fight time, it comes down to who do you favor? I think if you think it's the under 10 minutes, you're probably thinking that Charles Oliveira gets in there and mm-hmm. finishes Islam Makhachev. The later the fight goes, I do think that it starts to play into the high caliber wrestler of Islam Makhachev. A lot of wall and stall, a lot of cage control, mat control, avoiding submissions. So for me, I don't foresee this fight going the distance. And I think that if it touches round 4, I would be pretty surprised.
You know, Matt brings up the point talking about, you know, the Habib training team for this one, of all the guys that are in that camp. Look, the one thing about Islam is we all see how talented a fighter he is.
Yeah.
But the biggest question mark is, what's his best win?
Yeah, it's a good point, right? Like, you know, the strength of schedule for Charles Oliveira is on a completely different level than Islam Makhachev. So with the strength of schedule, you will find little bumps in the road in Charles Oliveira's career. There was a point where he had a quit button, and he had that quit button about him. And it was just like, you see Paul Felder smoke him. You see, you know, Cowboy Cerrone put him, you know, you see all these fighters that in 2022 are nowhere near where Charles Oliveira is. And Charles Oliveira has been able to, you know, ramp up the training and have maybe harder training, which is kind of, you know, hardened his style and made him a tougher individual in there. That quit button is a lot harder to find, even if it gets dropped and hurt. Now, because of the strength of schedule, he's had, you know, inconsistent performances, but eventually it's really developed into a stronger fighter, whereas Islam's just been dominant. And that's where you come into dominance versus strength of schedule. You can make a case for either one. I've been very torn, and I hate to be so wishy-washy this week. Obviously, for a salary standpoint, I love getting to Charles Oliveira, 7,800. But there is a gut feeling about me that Islam Makhachev is just going to be too powerful of a wrestler. And it's just going to be so heavy on top that perhaps we see a ton of dominance when it comes to control time.
Yeah, I lean more Islam this matchup. Before we move on, let me just throw a quick agree-disagree out at you. Michael Bisping says if Oliveira wins this fight, he's a lightweight GOAT.
So I'm like Mr. Wishy-Washy King over here today, and I hate to be like that, but I'm going to be like that this week because I'm treating my lineups accordingly. It comes down to, do you view dominance in looking like a perfect fighter as being the GOAT? If you view it like that, then Khabib Nurmagomedov has looked dominant from bell to bell. Not many people have won a round, if anybody's won a round against him. Whereas Charles Oliveira has more names and a stronger resume. So if you view the resume as what considers you to be the GOAT, then it's Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was looking over at Fight Matrix. It had the best lightweights of all time. I was shocked that number three, so I want to say they had, it was Habib, BJ Penn was two. Number three was Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, how? Yeah. Oh, just pound for pound, all promotions across?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say he didn't do nothing in the UFC. That's not a bad take. Yeah, he won the title. I mean, I hate to like say he did nothing, but he didn't really defend anything. Like, you know, McGregor starched him. And but yeah, I definitely think that BJ Penn had a fantastic career, but it's clearly Charles Oliveira and Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Tyler hits up in the chat that if Islam loses, do we see Khabib return? Tyler, my answer is simple. Yes.
I say no.
You never believe the R word in MMA. Never believe that word.
Yeah. Like, I just don't think, I think he's done. I really do.
I don't think so.
The reason why I ask is because in the past he said he wants Islam to be champion. Well, if Islam can't be champion, he may, okay, let daddy come show you how it's done again.
No, and you're right though. Like, that's the narrative. And I would love to see if it's true or not, but I say no.
I think there's a 60-40 chance he comes back at some point.
My buddy Matt says he'd have to come back at middleweight. Yeah, I mean, lightweight is kind of like in the rear view, I would imagine.
People may be surprised about this. I know lightweights that walk around 190, 195 pounds.
Yeah.
That you basically use camp just to cut down to 155. Mm-hmm. You may weigh 155 when you step on the scale, but the bigger question is, what do you weigh when you step into the cage on Fight Night? Let's move over to the co-main event, also a title matchup. Aljamain Sterling defending the bantamweight title against former champion TJ Dillashaw, 8,500 for Sterling, 7,700 for Dillashaw. As I was looking at this fight, I was kind of looking at some fight stats in terms of this one, and looking at Sterling and thinking about his path to victory being via grappling and the takedown. So I was looking at TJ Dillashaw's record against fighters who have attempted to take him to the ground. You realize there is only one fighter in the UFC that has taken him down three or more times?
Yeah, it's got to be Dominic Cruz, right?
Correct. Dominic Cruz landed four takedowns. No one has landed more than the rest of his fights, and most he's been taken down is twice. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how much mental warfare is going on here on the Aljamain Sterling camp, but, you know, they continue to bring out his failed drug test. And I thought Dillashaw was kind of like, yeah, I think his line today was, yeah, you're going to lose to a cheater, MF-er.
Did you miss your deadline to renew your Medicaid coverage? You can still send your completed annual review form to Healthy Connections Medicaid. You may be assigned to another health plan, but you can ask to come back to First Choice within 60 days of renewed Medicaid eligibility. It's your family. It's your choice. First Choice is the right choice. Renew and choose us. Visit selecthealthofsc.com/renew to learn more.
It's like, I hate him so much. God, I hope that Sterling chokes him out so bad. And like,
why? Oh, because of the PEDs?
I just hate him. I just don't like him. I think he's a punk. He's a gym bully. I've heard tons of terrible stories about him.
I've heard those. Yeah, I've heard them.
Yeah, he's cheating. He's cheated. And then like, there's no accountability. Like, I don't know. Like, there's constantly finger pointing. I do not like people like that. However, with that being said, I'm viewing TJ Dillashaw as probably one of the best underdogs on the entire slate. 7,700. He's going to be very, very popular. Has the wrestling to keep it on the feet against Aljamain Sterling. And, you know, he has been away from the cage for some time because of the suspension and everything. And yeah, he looked good in his return against Corey Sandhagen, but I don't know. It wasn't the same type of caliber that I was accustomed to. Like, I thought that, you know, he would look a lot better from a skill standpoint. But I think he's going to be a popular play because, you know, sprawl and brawl, knocking out Aljamain Sterling is one of the best paths to victory on this entire slate.
So he hasn't fought since July of last year. The reason for that was, I want to say it was elbow surgery. It was either elbow or knee surgery. One of the, maybe shoulder. But the reason he's been out is due to injury. It was an injury he suffered in the Corey Sandhagen matchup. I mean, this is the thing is, if you tell me Aljo can't get the fight to the ground, I don't see how he wins a stand-up fight against TJ. I really don't.
Well, he is like, you know, your friend who doesn't know how to play the fighting game. He just spams buttons because he constantly is just attacking. Sometimes, you know, the best defense is a good offense. And that's kind of what Aljamain Sterling has done, is just volume strike until the takedown opportunity presents itself. As far as jiu-jitsu, I think that Aljamain Sterling has clearly the better jiu-jitsu than TJ Dillashaw. I really do. And I think if he backpacks him, he's going to choke him out. I just do. I hope it happens, but I am really accounting for a TJ Dillashaw victory. I think that at 7,700, it's a no-brainer. You can get to him. This fight in general is pretty cheap, and I think that this will touch the later rounds. I don't expect an early finish. So I'm excited to see it, but I want to see what the ownership's like, because there is a path for Aljamain Sterling to, you know, get some control time. It's going to be tough sliding to do so against a strong wrestler, though.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the ownership that we have right now over at Stochastic, which I'll let you know about a great promo we have going on here in a moment. I mean, it's identical ownership on both sides of the equation. Like, it's a fight I want to get to, but like, if I'm thinking of fights of like in terms of a GPP situation of like going, is it a fight that's an automatic priority for me? I would say somewhat. Not like the main event. Like, there's another fight that you're going to call me crazy. I think Nikita Krylov versus Volkan Oezdemir is a priority fight this week.
Okay. I don't hate it.
I just think it's a volatility. So I think someone's getting finished with intent.
Yeah. You know, and kind of to touch on what I was saying earlier, like off the long layoff against Sandhagen, because of this, like that, I thought that he was going to look rusty at times. But I remember his striking being on a very, very high level, and it still looked good. But there's an argument out there that he lost that fight. And sometimes volume can beat effectiveness, and the volume of Aljamain Sterling could beat the effective striking of TJ Dillashaw, you know, and then a couple takedowns solidify some rounds for Aljamain Sterling. So that's kind of what I was saying. And now he's coming off of the layoff from the elbow. I think it was elbow. I don't know why I remember elbow surgery. You know, it's just interesting to me because Aljo's a guy that's somewhat of an unlikable character. TJ Dillashaw is the epitome of an unlikable character. I can't wait to see them clash in the octagon. And, you know, there's value on both sides, but I will say TJ Dillashaw.
Now, if you're not a Stochastic member, it's always got a great deal going on right now, as you can get 10 days of Stochastic Platinum for $10. Of course, we all know NBA season is here, and it's time for our best promo of the year. Get full access to all of our data tools for every sport out there for DFS, as well as we got our all-new lineup generator, which allow you to build and export up to 20 lineups using our data. That's 80% off our normal platinum pricing and gets you access to lineup generator. All you gotta do is use that promo code Hardwood or click the link in the description below to sign up right now. And of course, when we talk about all those tools we have for MMA, that Top Fire tool is the tool that I'm using. Literally, it's right up here on my screen as I'm looking at it. You know, I'm looking at that ownership, but also as the week goes on, I'm looking at that top 6%. Greater chance of going over 100%, over 100 points, I should say. And you got to take advantage of that great deal. Hit that link in the description below. Also, use that promo code Hardwood to take advantage. Get 10 days of Stochastic Platinum for just $10. Let's move over. Next up, we got a bantamweight matchup. Peter Yan taking on Sean O'Malley. 9,300 for Yan, 6,900 for O'Malley. And this is a fascinating matchup to me, Pete, because look, this is by far the biggest test of Sean O'Malley's career. I mean, you're going into the deep end of this bantamweight division. And as I think about this fight, while Sean O'Malley does have the reach advantage, like I'm thinking about from a DFS perspective, it's a high price point for Peter Yan, no question, should be. But like, I think there's a massive takedown upside here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make a case for both guys. This is where we're at this week. UFC 280, where I'm making cases for both fighters because you have to lay out paths to victory. And there is massive potential for Peter Yan to close the gap with his high shelling defense, throw in tight combinations, hurting O'Malley, chopping away at the leg kicks, which have proven to be an Achilles heel of Sean O'Malley, constantly getting leg kicked, made some improvements in the Pedro Munhoz fight. But I will still say that there is a deficiency in that department. The takedown upside of Peter Yan is more from trips, sweeps in tight range, where he's able to trip and knock his opponents off balance. And, you know, he's not traditionally shooting double legs and single legs. He can. So there's an easy path to victory of putting O'Malley on his back. 100%. I do view Peter Yan as the bull, and I view Sean O'Malley as the matador in this matchup. If this is a 5-round fight, I'm picking Peter Yan. I'm telling you right now, I'm still picking Peter Yan, but the fact that it's a 3-round fight, there is a path of Sean O'Malley utilizing fantastic footwork, long rangey strikes and volume striking to banking 2 rounds and surviving the third. There is a path for that. And I do feel like the odds are reflective of what would happen in a 5-round fight, not necessarily what would happen in a 3-round fight. I'm expecting Peter Yan to go out there and hurt O'Malley en route to a finish. But 93-69, O'Malley's one of the best fighters in the division. Massive step up in competition. I understand that. Humongous step up in competition. And Peter Yan is proven that he can finish people. He's, you know, like you go back and you look at the Aljo fights, there's a case that he's won both of them. Obviously the DQ was a stupid boneheaded decision, but like getting backpacked and controlled against Aljamain Sterling, he's going to do that to a lot of people. I view this from an O'Malley standpoint. If you are in danger of losing a bout in the UFC to somebody who's going to just take you down and control you versus a guy who's a dangerous fighter in Peter Yan, who's willing to stand up and trade with you, take that risk in that big leap, that stylistically, that this is a better matchup than someone like a Merab Dalishvili, who will just come constantly just take you down and bring you to takedown city. So I'm picking Peter Yan. I don't love the salary disparity, but yeah, I can't wait to see this fight. This might be my favorite fight on the card.
Let me ask you this, because obviously the leg kicks is something that everyone's going to talk about, of a potential attack for Peter Yan to go with. You're Tim Welch. You're the head coach of Sean O'Malley. What's been the emphasis in this camp?
Footwork. I'm saying O'Malley needs to utilize footwork, rangy striking, and just clip him on the feet. I could definitely see O'Malley knocking him out, but I'm picking Peter Yan. I'm picking Islam Makhachev. I'm picking TJ Dillashaw. I'm picking Peter Yan, but I'm getting exposure to the other fighters as well.
I'm telling you, like, I'm looking at our ownership right now, and we've got Peter Yan at 28% ownership. That's a guy, you know, I talk about this all the time of, I'm looking at these 9,000 options saying, where could I potentially find leverage? We all know there's going to be high ownership on the main event. Mm-hmm. Peter Yan could be the guy as a high salary fighter that kind of is that guy that's ultimately the key to you taking down a GPP if saying he goes out there and smokes Sean O'Malley like a lot of people believe will happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I will tell you that, you know, 9,300 in a three-round fight, when you have the favorite Sterling 8,500 in a five round bout, Islam Makhachev 8,400 in a 5-round bout, that this could be where the main event and co-main event are extremely popular, and perhaps the Yan and O'Malley fight, because of the 3-round nature, goes a little bit underowned. And if there's tons of ownership, it's probably on the O'Malley just as a complete pump play. But yeah, I like Peter Yan from a complete standpoint.
Next up, we got a lightweight matchup between Beneil Dariush and Mateus Gamrot. Gamrot, he's 8,800. Dariush, 7,400. Are we having a massive disrespect here for Beneil Dariush?
We are. And I think constantly there's going to be people out there that aren't entirely sold on Beneil Dariush because of how he's been finished in his UFC career early on. You have Alexander Hernandez starching him early. You have Edson Barboza knocking him out, but like, he's on a tear right now. Mm-hmm. Wins over Thiago Moises, Drew Dober, Frank Camacho, Jakar Close, Holtzman, Diego Fajeya, and Tony Ferguson. So like, it's a good win streak. It really is a good win streak. And stylistically, this is a difficult matchup against Mateusz Gamrot, a guy who can take him down, control him, reverse positions, and isn't so susceptible on the mat as some of his other opponents have been.
I don't know if you saw this. Gamrot just rolled into the press conference today shirtless.
No, these guys, man, they are like doing some weird stuff when it comes to the for the press conferences and getting exposure, and you know,
and for people who've not seen Beneil Dariush fight, just go back and watch your Jakar Close fight. That was a very entertaining fight where he nearly gets finished and ultimately finishes Jakar Close. But when I look at the salaries top to bottom of this fight card, and I'm looking at the fighters that are under 8,000 on DraftKings, because of his fighting ability, I look at Dariush as one of those guys that just sticks out to me.
Yeah, it's a broken week. It's a broken week, guys. And the reason it's a broken week is you can look at all the underdogs on this slate, and on any other fight card, you're sitting there saying, wow, this could be a co-main event or a main event for some of these Apex cards. So like, I always talk about prioritizing co-main event and main event underdogs. We basically have like 8 of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so the competition, this comes down to who shows up on Saturday and showing up. You can have an off day. There's everybody on this card is human. Nobody's a robot. All right. So like, you can go out there and have an off day and lose to the guy who's ranked 4 spots below you. It just happens. It's MMA.
Yeah, I was actually trying to pull up the what is Dariush via decision prop.
I like that.
It's got to be a great number. You got to be getting some good numbers there. But yeah, it's a, you know, I mean, look, Gamrot could be a guy that you look at, and he's probably another guy I want to look at, see where does the ownership go as the week goes on. If he gets if it gets under that 25% number, then I think he's an intriguing play.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the volume's pretty similar. The takedown volume of Mateusz Gamrot, you know, 4.83 takedowns per 15 minutes. It's going to have to be very careful because of Beneil Dariush's jiu-jitsu skill set, but also the fact that Dariush defends takedowns at 81%. So he will have success in the takedown department, but when he does so, he has to be very, very wise to not get caught in anything, because it takes one poor scramble and Dariush takes your back and sinks in a rear naked choke or threatens you and gets you on, you know, puts you on your back. So, you know, chat is live today and I love it because this is how a fight card like this should be. There should be, you know, there should be different takes. That's how you can tell the card is just top tier. When you are sitting there having arguments about who's going to win in these bouts, because it's a closely competitive fight card from top to bottom.
Yeah, look, I'm telling you this right now. Tomorrow night, while Pete's out there working, I'm going to be grinding here in the office, watching the little one championships and trying to figure out who the hell's going to be in my lineups. Because I have a feeling my exposures are going to be all over the place on this card.
For the best TV viewing experience, witness the coziest maroons, the most vibrant and brightest moons, the eeriest and darkest tombs, and radiant and vivid hues in any type of room with the Neo QLED and OLED TVs by Samsung. We're supposed to say Samsung, but that didn't rhyme, so you're welcome. Samsung, more wow than ever.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yep. Mine too. And that's why I started the video saying I'm going to look like an idiot this week, and I'm okay with it because it's just going to happen.
Let's move on next up to a female matchup. You got your girl, Manon Fiorot, 8,900, taking on Kayla Chookagian, 7,900. And, when I first started looking at this fight card, the betting odds did stick out a little bit to me of how much of an underdog Kayla Chookagian is in this fight. And I kind of use the term of, I think if you said Kayla Chookagian at this point is a gatekeeper in this division, I wouldn't disagree with you.
Yeah, no. It's women's MMA, right? And women's MMA underdogs come through more often than some other fighters. So 7,300 for the underdog, who is 11-4 in the UFC, against the Manon Fiorot, who is 4-0 in the UFC. UFC veteran, Chookagian, underdog situation. Well-rounded. Very good at striking. She will, distance strike. Not the best DFS performer by any means because of her knack to going the distance. And I do think that she has some sneaky takedowns up her sleeve. I have to tell you, because of her fiance or her husband, whoever he is, he's a phenomenal wrestler, an absolutely phenomenal wrestler. And we have seen them working together to kind of round out her game. Her takedown defense is not the best. It's okay. But offensively, she has landed takedowns in the past. She attempted 11 takedowns against Irene Aldana, just letting you know that against another phenomenal striker who will give her problems on the feet, she attempted 11, and that was some time ago, and that was back in 2017. She went 3-3 against Antonina Shevchenko, 1-4 against Jennifer Maia. So if it gets ugly on the feet, I would expect Chookagian to kind of bail on the striking, close the gap, and test Manon Fiorot in the cardiovascular department and the takedown defense department. But with all that being said, Manon Fiorot is a fighter I view as on the upward trajectory towards a title fight. A win over Chookagian could possibly solidify her as one of the next fighters to get it. It's not the best strength of schedule. It's really not. And I don't know if you disagree with me, but I do think that maybe one more is probably what she needs, but I would imagine that she's very, very close.
She's one of, Fia wrote to me on this card is, I really go, is she the sneaky takedown artist on this card?
Ooh, Manon, she could be. Because in her own right, if you look at her takedown numbers, when she's able to land takedowns, 1-1 against Victoria Leonardo, 1-1 against Tabitha Ricci, who has turned out to be a phenomenal takedown artist, 2-6 against Myra Bueno Silva, 2-4 against Jennifer Maia. They're both A strikers for women's MMA. And, it could be a B to B minus in the takedown defense department. So we'll have to see who has the better game plan. But I really like Manon Fiorot here at, to win this bout. It's just 8,900. Has she really paid off that price tag? 99 in her debut? Yes. 120 in her second fight in the UFC? Yes. The two following that are the ones that kind of make me scratch my head. 87.9 against Myra Bueno Silva and 81 against Jennifer Maia. So I might be a little bit light to Manon Fiorot and kind of view her as more of a parlay piece than a DFS piece.
Chookagian may not be a bad cash play, just as a low salary fighter that allows you to fill up that cash roster. Like, you know, Sean O'Malley could be another one of those fighters too, if you're looking to kind of save some salary in terms of cash games. Maybe could be a way to go. Of course, this is the MMA Strategy Show right here on Stochastic.com, and we are sponsored by Prize Picks. Of course, they got their player props contest over there at Prize Picks. And use your knowledge on the all of the sports with cross sports entries. That's something I was doing last week with NBA and also MMA. And of course, I mentioned about being a show that I was going to tell you about a 5-player card. Before I get there, be sure to click the link in the description below to get 1 free month of Stochastic Plus Platinum and up to a $100 deposit match when you sign up and make a deposit with Prize Picks. I'm going to start over on the significant strikes, Pete. My number one, it's an overplay for me. Manoel Fiorot, 77.5 significant strikes landed.
I like that. She's broken that in 3 of her 4 fights. So I actually like that.
That's why I never that stuck out. I went there. I will tell you one number in terms of significant strikes. This is not a part of my card here. I was looking at Sean Brady, which I believe the number is 55.5. And I go over to UFCstats.com and I realize he's only hit that number once in the UFC. So I was like, might be more of an underplay, especially if it's a taking down the takedowns. My next two, I'm going to go over to Fight Time, Pete. And both of these are underplays for me. Makhachev at 7.5 fight time minutes, and the other one, Krylov at 10.
I like them both. I do like them both. Nice picks.
So my final two, my 5-player card here, I'm going to the takedown side of the equation. Aljamain Sterling, I wish this number was 2.5. It's only 2. If I could get this one at 2.5, it's definitely an under. Even at 2, I'm going under.
Oh, you're going under?
Ooh. I think TJ keeps his fight on the feet, bro.
I think he does, but 2, man, I don't know. That might.
That's why I said if it got to 2.5, it's a clear underplay.
I don't
clear
like
under
that.
2.5.
Admittedly, I do not like that one. I would go to a different one.
All right, I've got an over on the takedowns. Maybe you like this one. Give me over 2 takedowns on Petr Yan.
I don't see that happening, but I can. It could. If he has that game plan, I think he smashes that. But does he need more than 2? Does he need more than 1? It's a 3-round fight.
I think O'Malley can get back to his feet.
Okay.
So that's going to be one of my player cards here for Saturday. I want to see where these line goes, because I would say there were some ones that stuck out to me over there. So what was it? Let me go and do it on my list. There was one that I just really stuck out to me. Nurmagomedov at 80.5 fantasy score. I don't love that one. I think that's an underplay.
Yeah, I mean,
the Makhachev 113.5 fantasy score is, I think he's going to be right around that number. I think it's a really good number.
I like Makhachev a lot, man. I think that this kid is going to be contending for the belt.
Well, my fear is he just goes out there, starches Gordon in like a minute, and he may not hit that 114 number.
Like a 109. It's like,
I'm scared of the under, because I think he's gonna go out and starch him
100%. So I think the fight time for him makes a little bit more sense, as you mentioned.
Of course, be sure to check out our friends over there at Prize Picks. So they got a great offer for you over there. I always appreciate their support here of the MMA Strategy Show. Let's move over to the next matchup I absolutely love from a fight aspect. I don't love this from a GPP aspect, Pete. Sean Brady, Bilal Muhammad, 8,200 for Muhammad, 8,000 for, or excuse me, 8,000 for Muhammad, 8,200 for Sean Brady. And so this is one of those matchups I went and started looking at the takedown aspects of both these guys. So Bilal Muhammad, he has 12 takedowns in his last 2 fights. However, those are against strikers in Stephen Thompson and Vicente Luque. Bilal Muhammad has gone to the distance in 12 of his 16 UFC fights. Brady has seen the third round in 4 of his 5 UFC fights, and Sean Brady has 14 total takedowns in UFC competition. We all know the type of grappler that Sean Brady is. I don't, like, if you look throughout Bilal Muhammad's time in the UFC, I don't think he's faced someone that has the grappling ability of Sean Brady. I do like Muhammad working with Khabib's team to prepare for this matchup. I think that's a great decision by him. I just, in terms of GPPs, I just don't think this is a priority fight because this could be a lackluster fight in terms of a fantasy score.
Yeah, so not my favorite DFS fight. 8,200 for Brady, 8,000 for Muhammad. I could, you know, you can make a case for the UFC veteran Bilal Muhammad, who has, you know, put together complete performances against top tier competition. And Sean Brady, to me, looks like he's going to be challenging for the belt eventually. Like, I really think that the power in his hands, the strength, the strong takedowns, and good jiu-jitsu of Brady. I'm picking Brady to win the matchup, but there is a case to be made for Bilal Muhammad, because if you go and you look throughout his career, he's made us a lot of money. He made me a lot of money against Vicente Luque, Stephen Thompson. And Stephen Thompson's my guy. I remember that. Remember that. And we liked him in the takedown.
Whoa. You like karate?
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, so being a 3-round fight, I kind of view this where they're both going to have small moments, and the winner is probably going to be in the 80 range, 75 range. The issue is if, you know, you have two wrestlers going up against each other, it turns out to be a striking matchup, and it's volume versus power. I like the power that Brady possesses, slightly less volume. And Bilal has had a questionable chin at times throughout his career. I just like where Brady's at, despite not really looking the best in the final round against Michael Chiesa. I will probably pivot in most of my lineups to a different fight than this one. But I naturally, the 8,200, 8,000 sneaks into your lineups because it just makes roster construction so easy. But on a week where tons of underdogs win, you might not need this fight.
I will be well under the field on Sean Brady.
Yeah. Well, is it coming in massive ownership?
Yeah. 41%.
Okay. Yeah. I love Bilal as well. So, like, you know, it's tough.
It's more of looking at this from a fantasy aspect. What is the pathway to 100 points in this matchup? And to me, if that's going to happen on either side of the equation, I think if it's Bilal Muhammad, it's on his side, it's him scoring knockdowns. I don't think he's able to take Brady to the mat in this one. I think he's going to stay at range. And on the other side for Brady, it's about getting takedowns and control time to be able to and you're going to need multiple takedowns to be able to rack up to get to 100 points. That's why, just from a fantasy aspect, I don't love this fight. But from a fight aspect, I love it.
I love it from just a watching a spectator, you know, standpoint. But from a DFS standpoint, we have to find points. And I don't necessarily view this fight as points galore. Now the next fight is possibly one where we could have a ton of fantasy points.
Do you love the price tag here on Borrello at 9,000, Murdoff 7,200? It's once again, but I look at ownership and I go, ooh, this is a fight that I want to target.
Yeah. I like Kyle Bahia a lot. And there is a clear deficiency in Mahmoud Muradov's game. And that's, you know, the jiu-jitsu, not the wrestling defense. And, you know, he was able to stuff 7 takedowns against Gerald Meerschaert, but when he got taken down, you know, when he hit the mat, I should say, he was submitted. But, you know, it's tough to really just harp on one performance, because Mahmoud Muradov is a fantastic fighter, like a fantastic fighter. And this is a case where styles make fights. And I do think the way that Kyle Bahio attempts takedowns will pose problems for Mahmoud Muradov. Muradov needs to sprawl and brawl like crazy, but he needs to avoid getting his back taken. And back takers are a different wrinkle when it comes to stylistic clashes. And that's what Kyle Bahio is. We saw him in the takedown department against Armin Petrosian, 4 or 5 in the takedown department. Yeah. He hasn't really performed from a DFS standpoint, 77. Against Godzi and 80 against Armin Petrosian, but I just like the skills standing up submission wise. From a, you know, an ownership standpoint, you're going to have a ton of ownership flocking naturally to cheaper fighters, and I will take a stand and get to plenty of Kyle Bahio.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let's move over to the next matchup that I believe is going to be a priority fight for me. As Zakia Krylov and Volkan Ozdemir, 8,600 for Krylov, 7,600 for Volkan Ozdemir. This is just a matchup that I think someone's getting finished, Pete, and I think it's happened within the first 10 minutes.
I got to tell you, man, and I hate it if you guys are Volkan Ozdemir fans. I've just never backed this guy. I just don't. I don't know what it is about him. I don't like him. I don't think he's good. As far as like a, you know, standing up, he's fine. But for an MMA fighter, I just constantly pick against him. And a lot of times it hasn't worked out in my benefit. So maybe I should learn from my mistakes. But I'm really going to back Nikita Krylov here. I like Nikita Krylov. I think that, you know, he looked phenomenal in his previous performance against Alexander Gustafsson. But, you know, was that more about Nikita or more about Alexander? I'm not sure. But I will tell you that in the Paul Craig performance, he was beating the brakes off of Paul Craig and then just kind of, you know, ground and pounding his way into a poor position and got submitted. So volatility surrounds Nikita Krylov. And I think you have to know that. But whenever he's priced under 9,000, I kind of always circle him because he's a fantastic GPP piece. So I'll be making a stand and getting to Nikita Krylov. But because of his volatility, you could have a 205er in Volkan Ozdemir kind of spoiling the party and picking up another win. Has massive power, even though I don't think that he's a very talented fighter. So give me Nikita Krylov here at 8,600.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nikita in this spot, but I do think Ozdemir is kind of what I think is the fighter who's going to take less chances. Where I think Krylov is just one of those guys that he's going to fight for your money. Like we talk about that line always on this show. There's certain fighters that you just know they may lose, but they're going to damn fight for your money, try to get you that 100 points.
Yeah, so if you back Nikita Krylov, right, you should always back unders with him. And you should always back finishes because he is a prolific finisher. And even if he doesn't win, a lot of times he's getting finished. So not really known to go the distance. You look pretty dominant in the Johnny Walker performance and, you know, got schooled against Magomed Ankalaev. But if you go back and you look at his tail of the tape and his resume, it's like, goodness gracious. You know, bet the under 2.5 if that's ever available. Most of the time, just bet the under 1.5 with him. And you will be very, very profitable doing so.
Now, if you're looking to bet on the fight, check out our friends over at BetMGM. As right now, they have a NBA no-brainer going on. Bet $10, win $200 if any player hits a three-pointer. This offer is available in states with the exception of New York, Pennsylvania, and Mississippi and Ontario. It must be a pre-game money line bet, and all you got to do is, this is your chance to get $200 for free simply by clicking the link in the description or pinned comment below. Any team hits a three-pointer tonight, you win $200 in free bets. It's that simple. Take advantage of these offers when they come up. It's the best way to beat the books. And of course, if looking to take some of that free money and wager on UFC 280 here on Saturday. Let's move over. Next up, we got Zubaro taking on Lucas, 7,900 for Lucas Almeida here. Zubaro is 8,300. Pete, what's your take?
So my take is similar to Volkan Ozdemir. I'm waiting for somebody to kind of, you know, just deal with Zubaira Tukugov enough in rounds 1 and 2 and then have a come from behind victory, because Tukugov has some of the most suspect cardio out there. And in round 3, he's live to lose. But his skill set is phenomenal. So you kind of have to, you know, view, which one do you view more? Do you view his skill set or do you view his cardio deficiencies more? Lucas Almeida, one of the most live dogs on the slate. But, you know, at 7,900, it's priced accordingly. I think that the takedown upside is clearly there for Zubaira Tukugov, who has, you know, landed multiple takedowns, up to 6 takedowns in against Lerone Murphy, and that was a draw. So tons of takedowns and control time. My issue is the cardio of Tukugov, and I'm going to pick Zubaira Tukugov despite my worries here. But as far as like underdogs who have shocked me, Lucas Almeida really shocked me in his last time out against a UFC staple in Michael Trezano, and pulling off that spectacular knockout, scoring 102 with a third round finish is pretty hard to do. So circle Lucas Almeida, but I think that Zubaira Tukugov has the skills to kind of avoid trouble. Hopefully, I mean, every time he's out there, I'm sitting there like, oh, yep, there's a poor cardio. And then he just squeaks it out. So we'll have to see comes out today.
Next up, we got Nurmagomedov taking on Godzi. Godzi 7,500, dropping down to 170-pound division. This one, he previously fighting in the 185-pound division. Nurmagomedov, he is 8,700.
Yeah, guess what? You found a third fighter that I'm not a believer of, and that's Abubakar Nurmagomedov. And, like, I'm just not sold on him. He looked better his last time out against Jared Gooden, but I don't necessarily hold Jared Gooden in such high regard either. He went 1-5 in the takedown department. His striking looked better. He landed 60 of 120 significant strikes. So, you know, you know that he can handle a striking affair on the feet. I just think that Gaji Omergajiev was a highly touted prospect that everybody was picking to beat Kyle Bahio. And I kind of went the opposite way. And I think you did too. Where we like Kyle in that matchup from a grappling standpoint. And Godzi is talented, and usually he's the guy who gets top position. This is all going to come down to who gets top position in takedowns. And, you know, I'm going to pick Godzi Omergajiev here at 7,500. A little bit of picking against Abubakar at his price point. Mm-hmm. I just don't really think that he's the best DFS player out there. He could win the fight, sure. But in the matchup, who do I think has the higher upside? I definitely think that Gaji has the higher upside at 7,500.
Next up, you got Aron Petrosian taking on AJ Dobson. 9,100 Petrosian, 7,100 for Dobson. This is a fight that I'm circling because big time looking ownership saying, man, we got a leverage spot in this situation.
Yeah, we do. And I'll tell you what, from a coaching standpoint, you would want AJ Dobson in a fight like this. You want him against a kickboxer. You would want him against somebody who's willing to stand and trade with him. You do not want AJ Dobson going up there against another Jacob Malkoon who's going to take him down. You don't want him going up there against anybody else who's going to kind of stifle that offensive striking that AJ Dobson possesses. Now, the issue is that Aron Petrosian has done it and looked good against Gregory Rodriguez, who's a pretty notable name in a tough out. Split decision, could have lost that bout, got taken down, but when he was able to work his way back to his feet, his striking is excellent. On the regional scene, his durability has been in question at times. So a Dobson knockout win here at 7,100 will break the slate if it occurs. I got to pick Aron Petrosian, though. I've seen it against better competition, even though he got dominated against Kyle Bahio. I'm going to be picking Aron Petrosian, but I got to tell you, I didn't view this fight as 91 against 71. I kind of thought this would be mid eight against mid sevens. I think the disparity in the odds is a little crazy.
Cardio concerns for me with AJ though.
Yeah. Big concerns, but that could be because of the taxing grappling. I don't suspect grappling to be much of an issue here. And I'm expecting it to be fireworks on the feet.
But this is one of those fights where you can use our tools and data. And when I see the ownership that we're seeing on this matchup, it makes me go, I would rather, and this is just a pure ownership play, get to a Petrosian than get to a Jan, just because it's just difference in ownership and a $200 price savings.
See, I don't know if I would want to do that, though. Like, I have much more faith in Peter Yan's skill set, despite going up against Sean O'Malley, than I do in Petrosian. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of view this as like a main event on regional MMA. You know what I mean? Like, couldn't you see this as like a, you know, LFA title fight or something like that?
No, where
they're both talented, you know?
Yeah, no question. We got Makhachev taking on Gordon. 9,600 for Makhachev, 6,600 for Malcolm Gordon here. This to me just becomes a roster construction question. Yeah. At 9,600, I mean, look, I think Makhachev should go out there and roll through Malcolm Gordon, but it's just more a roster construction issue for me.
Yeah, for sure. I love Muhammad Makhachev here. I think he's going to be fighting for the belt. He has all the skills to give everybody problems. And, you know, up until his last performance, everybody was like, oh, he has terrible cardio because he's just such a prolific finisher. And guess what? Gets Charles Johnson, who's super, super talented. He attempted 26 takedowns. That is absolutely ridiculous. That is like Jacob Malkoon level. And Malkoon really solidified, you know, his skill set and what he brings to the table in his last bout against Maximov, even though Maximov was hurt. But like Makhachev has that crazy Colby Covington upside about him. And this is where if the field's getting away from the salary, if you just really get a little bit contrarian and find ways to make Mukhaev work with your lineups, you could be sitting pretty at the top, because if he doesn't finish Malcolm Gordon early, he's going to ragdoll him for as long as Gordon survives. And I really, really love Mohamed Mukhaev. Avoid the boxing of Malcolm Gordon, because Gordon has some better hands than what the public likes to give him credit for. Mukhaev should roll here. This is fantastic work from Mukhaev's management. Like, this is excellent. Like, this is a great, great fighter to go in there. The odds are ridiculous, but you see minus, what is he? Minus 1200 or something stupid, only priced at 9,600. Seems like a bargain to me.
And that betting odd just continues to rise. Over this week, he was 10 to 1. Now he's 12 to 1. It wasn't surprised by the time we get the fight night, 13, 14 to 1. Yeah. Next up, we got Carol Hossa, Lena Landsberg, opening fight of the night. Carol Hossa, 9,200, 7,000 for Lena Landsberg.
Rich price tag for Carol Hossa. I'm probably going to pivot somewhere else, truthfully, even though I do think that Carol Hossa is on the upward trajectory. But how can I say that when she just got dominated against Sarah McMahon? Up until that point, she was on the up, right? But then she got wet blanketed against Sarah McMahon, who, if she ever utilized her wrestling throughout her entire career and maintains opposition, could be the champion. McMahon looked fantastic in that bout. And regionally, we saw Carol Hossa have, you know, a takedown deficiency from the defense standpoint, where if she gets put on her back, she's not the same fighter. When she's able to land takedowns, she's fine. She can solidify rounds. She can bank rounds. Pretty good jiu-jitsu as well. Good volume striking. So if this is on the feet, I'm expecting Carol Hossa to outpoint Lena Landsberg. But if I'm Lena Landsberg, I'm looking back at Carol Hossa's last fight, and I'm trying to replicate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But good luck doing that, because that was against Sarah McMahon. So I'm saying Carol Hossa. I don't like the price tag. I wish that they were, you know, in the eights. Wish she was in the 8,000 and Lena. Lena's fine, but Carol Hossa seems a little bit rich for me. So I'm picking Carol Hossa to win the bout. Not my favorite DFS play, though.
Dave Cohen, Hossa, Landsberg, sleeping a little later, longer. Dave, don't sleep in on Saturday. We'll be here at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. East Coast time. You got to, you know, for our West Coast viewers, man, it's really an early morning.
I don't know how the heck I'm going to do this. I got to tell you, it's going to be like a very long time since I go to bed. So, and I don't want to miss the fights, but I might be like snoozing between bouts. So hopefully, yeah, man, that might be rough. I'll probably fall asleep in some of these matchups.
So before we get out of here on this episode of the Strategy Show, of course, coming up next is the NHL Strategy Show. Let's get our straight up fight picks for this one. Main event, give me Makhachev.
Give me Oliveira, man.
All right. Sterling Dillashaw. Give me TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah, give me Dillashaw.
Wow, your hatred of Dillashaw, you're going to pick him? Wow.
Yeah, he's one of the best. He's one of the best. Even though if he's one of the best as a cheat, I don't care. He's still one of the best.
I will take Jan over O'Malley.
Yeah.
I'll go with my second underdog, Beneil Dariush.
Wow, okay, I'm going Gamrot.
Manan Fierot.
Yep, Fierot.
Brady. Barello.
Yep, Barello.
Krylov.
Yep.
Give me underdog number three, Lucas Almeida.
I don't hate it. Tukugov for me.
I want to go underdog number four. I just can't pull the trigger. Give me Nurmagomedov.
All right, give me Gazi.
Petrosian.
Mukhaev.
And Carol Hossa.
Carol Hossa. Man, oh, man. And Dave, yeah, I work all night. I get out at 7 in the morning, so, like, I got to – like, do I go to bed and then do the podcast at 9? What am I going to sleep an hour? No. So, yeah. So we'll see.
You got to get that power nap in, Pete. Come on.
Those don't work for me. My dad does that all the time. I feel horrible. Naps do not work for me. I'd rather.
Love me a good power nap.
Are you a napper?
Yeah. Oh, so sometime middle of the day, get about that 15, 30 minute power nap. It's what I need to kind of get through the rest of the day.
Okay. All right. Most confident pick on the slate. Who are you going?
Well, I hate the salary, Mukhaev would be one. If I was going to look somewhere else.
Tough week. I'm going to say Carol Hossa.
Petrosian.
You really, huh? Okay. Yeah. And guys, thank you guys so much for tuning into our show. we're grinding all the time for you guys. If we can get this video to 150 likes, we'd really, really appreciate it. We enjoy being here with you guys every single week, especially for cards like this. Are you kidding me?
Oh, look forward to it. We'll be here on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. for Live Before Lock. Course, coming up next is the NHL Strategy Show. Huge thanks to our sponsor, Prize Picks. Be sure to check out all those player prop contests they have over Prize Picks, and we will talk to you on Saturday morning for the Live Before Lock. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.